Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. My name is Dave Taylor, and I wish I had the energy of that France crowd. Oh, my gosh. WWE Backlash France just took place a couple hours ago, and it was quite the show. Again, thanks for joining us for Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat, a wrestling podcast out of Virginia. And you can find us on a couple of radio station websites, FM99.com and 1069fox.com. Go to the media tab. You'll see ESPR, Eat Sleep Podcast Repeat. And there we are. You can check out all of our latest episodes. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us as well. Spotify, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Apple, Stitcher. Just search ESPR Wrestling Podcast, and we'll pop up. And you'll see some of our recent episodes. Becky Lynch was on the show. You know, we've had Gunther on the show at one time. Raquel Rodriguez, we've had Eddie Kingston, a two-time guest of ESPR, who helps generate headlines when he comes on the show. A pleasure to talk to him, and that dude is just something else. So thanks for checking us out. Eat Sleep Podcast, Pete, Facebook and Twitter, ESPR99. WWE Backlash, France, man, that crowd, something else. I'll tell you that. It was crazy. I don't know how they keep the energy for a 3-hour show, but that's a lot there. A show that had five matches on it, all pretty solid. I'll give you that. We'll start off with saying that. But the crowd, you know, at times maybe it was a bit too much, but wow, I mean, they just didn't stop. You know, it's all the energy from not being able to talk in the French Open when they have the tennis event. But we'll run through the card. And quite the card it was. If you checked out the preview show, if you heard the predictions, five for five. But you know, there's some things that we didn't see coming here. We'll start with this. The first match of the night, the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Of course, Paul Heyman with them, taking on Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Now, before things got started, they brawled all over the place. And it's like, oh, man, they're going to throw this match out or whatever. We're just going to get shenanigans here to start it. That's not good. But then, no. After officials came out and Kevin Owens defended, give some people some stunners and stuff, Nick Aldis came out and said, you know what? You can pull this crap. You can say that, but I'm paraphrasing. It's now a street fight. So they had a tag team street fight match. The Bloodline, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton taking out each other all over the crowd and stuff. And it was insane. And I kind of like it because they did, like, the split screen. They kind of give you, like, actions of both things going on. It threw me off at first because I thought, like, is this a replay? No way, this is actually happening. They did the best to keep up because I think Kevin Owens is running through the crowd. And there's one point where I think they missed Tama kind of, like, choking out to Owens a little bit in the crowd. And they got him back in. And Randy came in. And it was chaos and stuff. And you had... your table spots, some chairs and everything else. And at one point, like, oh, man, this is going to be it. The match is over. And then lo and behold, oh, no. Before Kevin Owens can pin Tama Tonga, you know what happened? Huh? You know what happened in the match? Somebody else showed up. That's right. And we have a new member of the Bloodline. So as Kevin was going to pin Tonga, somebody else showed up. Tangaloa. Yes, formerly of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you can say that now, WWE. And it surprised CM Punk earlier in the pre-show with Big E. But then Kevin Owens said it. But so that happened. And it was just crazy because then, you know, he came in, beat everybody up. And then you had Solo Sikoa hitting Kevin Owens with the Samoa Spike to score the victory there. And, the Bloodline win the match. Kevin Owens selling the heck out of it, by the way. Almost like, I would say like he puked on the ring apron. But it wasn't pretty. So now the Bloodline, three members strong. Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and now Tangaloa. All part of that group. Tonga, by the way, and Tama, sons of Haku. So, you know, it was an entertaining match. By the way, the crowd helped. It was a crazy opening match. At first I was worried, like, this is like too much for an opening match because you got everything going on, no DQ, a lot of things going on in this particular match. But the Bloodline standing tall when things came to an end. And Paul Heyman, by the way, selling this because, you know, he's you know, he didn't want him to beat up Kevin Owens after the match. He's like, hey, enough is enough kind of thing. And, you know, at some point, you know, something will happen there. We get that Bloodline Civil War. But yeah, there you go. The Bloodline victorious and growing as a result as well. Next match on the card, you got the women's triple threat match happening. That's Bayley defending her women's championship against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. So do we get Tiffy time? Do we get the glow show? Well, do we get a very hot crowd that was doing the old NXT chant? Way, Bayley. Yeah. That was crazy because I haven't heard that in a long time. But the 11,000 strong, the attendance, official attendance, by the way, 11,628. One of their highest grossing shows, largest gate in WWE history for an arena show, which is crazy. What do they charge for tickets for an 11,000 people show? Holy cow. But a fun match as well. I mean, the crowd a bit much. You know, I mean, they did boo Tiffany a little bit, but they didn't like her as well. You know, they, I mean, they didn't, like, really boo the heels a whole lot. You know, is this crazy? You know, they had a couple. It's weird because it's like, okay, two matches in a row where anything goes kind of thing. But, you know, but there was really no, like, serious cheating, but some pretty good spots. I mean, you had some, you know, typical triple threat roll-up stuff at the beginning. You didn't get too many times when, like, you know, one person was sitting on the outside where two of them were going at it and stuff. A cool spot with, you know, Tiffany kind of putting Naomi and Bayley into the tables and the outside, the announcer's tables, of course, Michael Cole and Corey Graves, who sounded great together. You had the French commentator's table and then taking some of that. And then you had, you know, she threw him in the ring and then, you know, was going for the moonsault. But they moved out of the way, rolled up, and they kind of hit Bayley and Naomi hit Tiffany with a 1D. That was, like, kind of a cool spot, of course, that she kicked out of that. Well, actually, the pin got broken up, but came in. Tiffany was out of the ring. Naomi rolled up Bayley. Bayley reversed it, got the pin on Naomi. I thought her shoulders maybe were up because in the replay they didn't show the same angle, so I don't know what happened there. Bayley is your winner. Naomi, no, like, he'll, you know, turn or anything else. Just congratulated Bayley and walked off. And Bayley was in the ring. Still your women's champion. Next match was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest taking on Jey Uso. And this was a pretty good match, I thought. This is probably one of Damian's better matches. He's got a certain style. And sometimes, this personally for me, I can get into it. And other times I'm like, well, he's doing what he's doing. But here, I thought it was a pretty good showing for Damian Priest. I wanted him to look strong. I was a little worried about that. I was concerned that maybe, you know, the Bloodline would show up in this match. We didn't see the Bloodline in the ring the rest of the night. But we did get a couple of guys from Judgment Day. We had JD McDonagh show up. Damian Priest wasn't happy about that. And then JD took a super kick from Jey Uso. And then you had Finn Balor show up. And, you know, they both did help Damian Priest in certain ways. But Damian was pretty adamant that he didn't need their help. And towards the end of the match, JD did a suicide dive on JD outside the ring. He speared Finn Balor. And when he got in the ring, went to the top rope. Priest shook the top rope. Jey Uso fell on the top turnbuckle. And then Damian hit the South Heaven from the top rope and got the pin on Jey Uso. Now, there was one point in the match where Jey had Damian Priest beat. So this is always the thing where it's like, yes, yes, he could have had that match. That's where JD McDonagh put the foot on the rope for Damian Priest. And the ref stopped the count. But after the match, JD McDonagh and Finn Balor are beating up Jey Uso, and Damian stopped him, said, you know, let him be. And, you know, it's like, hey, I don't need you guys. You know, it's like, I take it, it's like he wants to be a unit, but he doesn't want their help with the championship. So we'll see what that leads into somewhere down the road, because you can probably see a match with Finn Balor and Damian Priest going one-on-one. Next match, the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill take it on the champions, the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. Love the face makeup in this match from the Kabuki Warriors in this. By the way, is this the longest women's tag match, championship match-wise? And this thing went over 17 minutes, and it was great. It told a story. It was well done. It was a little sloppy at times. Not like bad sloppy where it's like, oh, my God, it just ruins the match. It's the worst match ever. Not in this case. But I thought it was well done. Jade Cargill doing some great stuff in there, getting a lot more ring time, you know, and a great way to introduce her as well, with these type of matches here. And thought it worked out quite well. A fun match. Jade doing showing some amazing strength with the spot with Kairi Sane. That just the way she, I almost had like, you know, picked her up and then, you know, moved her around certain ways. It was just crazy. And then Bianca Belair with a KOD, picking up Asuka onto Kairi Sane and then pinning Kairi Sane. But there was like some confusion in this match where I think like, I don't know, the ref somehow stayed on top of it, where the Kabuki Warriors, the wrong one was in the ring or whatever else, and he wouldn't count the pin. And, you know, eventually they got it worked out. But then I was also wondering at the end of the match, I was like, wait, did the right person get pinned in this match? We'll see how that goes for any controversy. But the title change you got for that night, yes. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, your WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, defeating the Kabuki Warriors in the match that went over 17 minutes. But a fun match, by the way. You know, it's weird because she was there, but you didn't see her. Was the other member of Damage Control. And she was not there. I was kind of surprised that we didn't see Dakota Kai. She saw her backstage, but not during the match itself. And the next match of the card, the main event of the evening. Cody Rhodes defending the Undisputed WWE Championship against AJ Styles. And, you know, my concern going in is like, you know, AJ Styles, he gets these big high-profile matches, and like the first time we get him, you know, the Edge match or the Shinsuke Nakamura match, it's a little bit of a letdown. This was not a letdown. I have to say, almost kind of like an AEW feel to it at times with like some of the spots with the reversals. But this was great. AJ wrestled a clean match. Not like the finger poking in the eye what he did with like the beat LA Knight a couple of weeks ago. But this was well done. You know, for Cody's first defense, because you always wonder, it's like, okay, you know, you got to have a strong defense and everything else. You know, you don't want to make the guy look weak. That was a little bit of a concern, Damian Priest. But Cody here, these guys put on a heck of a match. They told a story. It was a phenomenal story. Anytime AJ Styles had the advantage in the match, the crowd was doing a phenomenal chant. It was just insane going the whole time. You know, every two count throughout the night, they were chanting for that as well. You know, only two, but in France, in French. And they just kept going here. It was a lot. You know, there was the, Tiger Driver by AJ Styles. Cody kicked out at one, which I think made a lot of people mad on the Internet Wrestling Committee. But you had, then he kind of hulked up a bit. But a great match, a great story, you know, with Cody selling the shoulder, like that was hurt. And, AJ Styles never got the Styles clash in her phenomenal forearm. He did hit the, splash, like jumping over the rope, but to Cody hitting the Cody Cutter from the top rope, that was really cool. An amazing balance to do that. He hit two of them on AJ, one in the middle rope in the middle of the match, and then towards the end, hitting that, and then hitting Crossroads and pinning AJ Styles and putting it into a very fun night. I thought the match was very entertaining, and I think the crowd definitely helped that out. You know, it does make a difference sometimes. I mean, these superstars, you know, are doing their matches or whatever, and even it's a good match, and the crowd sometimes is sitting there. Definitely not the case in this particular night. In fact, that they kept going for, like, you know, a three-hour show was insane. But happy for Cody's first defense there. Pretty good match. A great pay-per-view, premium live event. Go watch the whole show. There's no letdowns in the show. Everything else, very entertaining. You know, like I said, the crowd helps, but the matches were good too. Only five matches on the card, but you got a lot of wrestling. I mean, the shortest match of the five was 13 minutes, which was the triple threat match. And you had, the main event was over 27 minutes, and then everything else was between 15 to 20 minutes. That's a lot for a WWE show. That's nearly hour and a half of wrestling in a three-hour show, considering the commercials, the very long intros for everybody, especially Randy Orton and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes and, you know, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill getting their own intros and everything else, and a triple threat, but a big show feel for a five-card show. And, wow. Yeah, would I rank it? I mean, I guess 9 out of 10. I mean, was it the perfect show? No, but gosh darn it, man. It was a lot of fun. Probably one of the fun shows. Now, after that show ended, WWE, you know, I tell you what, you know, how powerful WWE is right now, but getting involved in having superstars at the Kentucky Derby. Yes, so there's a big announcement today, you know, WWE and the Kentucky Derby, because, like, during the broadcast, you know, Michael Cole mentioned that, you know, hey, well, watch the Derby later on today. And so Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins were there, you know, and, of course, you know, Seth had his injury, everything else, but he's got a brand-new look on there, and, of course, they fit in with their fashion at the show. And they're on the red carpet coming in. But it's crazy because NBC Sports had that, and they interviewed them as well. But Becky Lynch's hat is just it's just something else, because she had this, like, trying to describe it here. It's like a, I don't know, like a vinyl shiny top or whatever. It fits Becky and Seth Rollins. Only they can do that, by the way. Seth kind of shaved a little bit, but he did have, like, some stubble going in this situation. But hair's cut, everything else. He kind of looks like CM Punk. I don't know, but he had almost like a tablecloth, like, you know, the red, white tablecloth suit and tie. You had to go with it, but the jacket with, like, a tablecloth and the striped tie. So there you go. But they're definitely having fun with that. And while that was going on, WWE made the huge announcement about WrestleMania 41. It's not happening in Minnesota. There's a lot of speculation about that because they thought there's going to be an announcement. But lo and behold, no, it is going to be in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium Saturday, April 19th and Sunday, April 20th, 2025. Yes, you get a WrestleMania on 420, the latest dates ever for WrestleMania. Doing it in Vegas. Nick Khan said, this is in the WWE press release, that Vegas is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. We're going to be at an A-plus venue, Las Vegas, guaranteed it would be. We look to bring in the WWE's biggest event, WrestleMania, to Vegas. So we collectively make WrestleMania 41 on April 19th and 20th, 2025, the most successful WWE event of all time. All time, by the way. So does that mean that maybe SmackDown and Raw are going to be at the Sphere? Could you imagine? Can they do that there? I mean, I know it's kind of set up for concerts and stuff, but who knows? Let the speculation begin. I mean, of course, there's other venues in Vegas, but, you know, there could be hockey playoffs or whatever else around that time. We'll see. We'll see what the crowds would be. I would have to see what the capacity is for that stadium. However, of course, you know, with the shows and everything else, that changes how that all works out. So we see what the capacity is for a football stadium. Well, like 65,000, but it can hold more than 70,000 for events. So that's pretty gosh darn big for WrestleMania, a two-day show in Vegas. That's going to be crazy. That is going to be huge. But, yeah, WWE going to Vegas for WrestleMania 41. So no London, if we're ever going to get that. No Minneapolis. Maybe your year's 42. I don't know. I guess, you know, Vegas said, hey, we want this. We have money. By the way, April 20th, not just 420, but also Easter. So not that that's going to cause any problems, but there you go. Yeah, so WWE WrestleMania 41 in Vegas, April 19th and 20th, which I guess I got to wonder when, like, you know, how the Rumble is going to take place, because you have a lot of time between Rumble and WrestleMania, because later Mania is. It's a long time to draw out the Rumble and the winner and everything else and how that goes in Elimination Chamber. So it'll be interesting. See how that takes place. And then how they do Backlash, because that would be like, you know, if that was now, that'd be like 2 weeks after Mania. instead of three, but I guess, you know, I guess it's one difference there. There you go. That is it. That is your review of Backlash France and your preview of WrestleMania 41. The Rock and what? Roman? The Rock and Cody? Who knows? It will be big. It will be huge, I'm sure. A lot of pyro. You can expect that as well. Done Vegas style. Not like what they had was a SummerSlam and no pyro. Remember when they cut that from their budget for a while and things got tight? Now they got a budget again. Eat Sleep Podcast. Repeat Facebook and Twitter. ESPR99. You can also check us out. Let's see. Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud. Just search ESPR Wrestling Podcast. Google that. We pop up everywhere. And you can check out some of our episodes at 1069fox.com, fm99.com, under the media tab. See some of our big interviews. Paul Heyman was on the show at one time as well. Yeah, a lot of huge guests. I hope you enjoyed the weekend. And as always, we got a lot more to talk about because now the draft and everything, all that's done. We'll go over that too in the next episode. As always, make sure you eat, sleep, podcast, and repeat. Have a great weekend, everybody.